It's a great privilege to be here. It's like coming home after a long time. If you return in your Bibles to Galatians, because although our reading was from Romans chapter 6, and we will be mentioning Romans chapter 6 quite a bit, but our text is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. So let's turn to that and read that together. So the Apostle Paul, speaking in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm going to read that again. It's such a wonderful verse. It's such a glorious thing that the Apostle Paul says here. It must be one of the most exalted verses in the whole of the Bible. And as we look at it this evening, we're not going to anywhere near exhaust what is in it, but we're going to try and understand something of this wonderful doctrine, this truth of the Scripture, that we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." The Apostle Paul, when he's saying this, is not speaking as some kind of super Christian for whom this would be true, but for the rest of us mere mortals, it's not. He is speaking of a truth that is true of all Christians, of everyone who has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Every one of us who is a true believer in Christ can say what the Apostle Paul says here and know that it's true of us. Now, the doctrine of our union with Christ is a difficult one. I agreed to take a doctrine about the cross. And I love this doctrine, so I thought I'd have a go. When I started to have a look at it, I thought, right, this is this is going to be interesting. So let's see how we get on with this. Back in Romans then, Romans 6, 3 to 4, if we've got that up on the screen there. That tells us the basic facts of it, what has happened when a person becomes a Christian. So, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." He's not talking about water baptism there. He's not talking about what happened to us when we went through the waters of baptism, having become Christians. He's talking about something real that happened to each and every Christian when they became a Christian, when they came to Christ. The baptism he is talking about is a baptism into death. It's an immersion into death, just as you're immersed in the water. He is speaking about a real death and a real burial and a real resurrection that each and every person who becomes a Christian goes through along with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is saying that when Christ died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he rose again, we rose again with him. We have been united with him in his death and in his resurrection. So that in his death we die. In his resurrection we live a new life. That's what he's speaking about there. And that's why this doctrine is such a difficult one to speak on, and yet such a glorious one. It's not speaking about something that is metaphor or simile or a picture of something that happened, but something real that happened to each and every Christian. And yet it's difficult to understand. How can I be united with a man in his death, a death which happened nearly 2,000 years ago? It seems to make no sense. And when you come to this doctrine in the theological books, you often find it's called the mystical union of ourselves with Christ. Mystical because it's mysterious, because there are depths to it that we are never going to be able to grasp or understand. It's something glorious and wonderful that we look at and yet never can quite get to the heart of it. And yet, all the New Testament teaching on our Christian life and how we live our Christian life and what that's all about, it flows out of this doctrine of our union with Christ. Paul usually speaks of it using this phrase. He says we are in Christ. Every time the Apostle Paul says we are in Christ, he is speaking about this union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase, in Christ, occurs 82 times in the writings of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul loved this doctrine. He couldn't get it out and onto the page often enough. I'm in Christ, he wanted to say. You are in Christ. I love this doctrine as well. And that's why I chose to have a go at it this evening. It is difficult to understand. It's like the Trinity. It's like the fact that God is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet one. Three persons. It's like the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can God become man and dwell amongst us? This union with Christ is like that. And we say, Lord, help me. Help my brain to get around these things. We can't do it. And yet we have to try. It's so important that we try to understand what this is about. And we're going to do that briefly this evening. And first we're going to see, we're going to talk about a union that we do know about. And that's our union with Adam, our first ancestor. And then secondly, we're going to talk about our union with Christ in his death, or how I died with him. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about our union with Christ in his resurrection, or how I live a new life. It's a big, big subject, and we're only going to touch on it this evening. So first of all then, we were united to Adam before we were united to Christ. United to Adam first, then to Christ. You may not realize this, but you are already united to an historic person who lived thousands of years ago and died thousands of years ago. And when I spell it out to you, what that union means, what it's about, this union with Adam, you'll say, oh yes, of course, I see. But you need to see what our union with Adam means in order to understand what our union with Christ means. And that's why we need to look at it. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, and I'm not going to look at that, but you can look at it later if you're interested. He shows how our union with Adam corresponds with our union with Christ. how there are likenesses between the two and differences as well. He almost draws an analogy between our union with Adam and our union with Christ. Our union with Adam started at our conception, in the womb of our mothers. And his life we received, in a sense. We received the life of Adam in our mother's wombs. We are all descendants of Adam. We all owe our lives to him. His life, as it were, has passed down the generations, ultimately coming to each one of us. So we owe our life in this mortal body to our union with Adam. But we as Christians owe our spiritual and our eternal life to our union with Christ. And it comes from him to us. So we have a life from Adam, our mortal lives, and we have a spiritual and eternal life from Christ that we see from him. So in that sense, we are united to Adam, first of all, and then when we come to Christ, when we become a Christian, we are united to him and receive life from him. That life that we receive from Adam, it's a flawed life. It's tainted. Because he sinned. He sinned, and none of us were born before he sinned. All of us were born after he sinned, and the life that we receive from him is tainted by that, ruined by it. Sin, and therefore death, which is the penalty for sin, has passed from Adam to all his descendants, to all of us who are here this evening. All his descendants bar one. There was one person who was born of a woman who did not receive Adam's sin and the consequences of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking of course, he shared Adam's flesh, but he alone did not share his sin or his condemnation. That's the glory of the incarnation, which I'm sure you'll think about a bit over Christmas. But in the same way, righteousness and eternal life are given to each soul that's united to Christ, who is the second Adam. So from the first Adam, we receive sin and death. From the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we receive life eternal and righteousness and heaven. Ben Keane spoke to you the last time you had one of these sessions on propitiation, on how the Lord Jesus Christ receives sin's penalty for us. So he received it when he died on the cross. And you can't have propitiation without this union with Christ. Our sins cannot become the Lord Jesus Christ's without us being united to him. So in this union, we find in our union with Adam, we were judged for his sin. We become sinners because of our union with Adam. He gives us that compulsion to sin. And we come into this world, and the one sure thing about it, apart from the fact we're going to die, is that we're going to sin. Because of that union with Adam. But in our union with Christ, and because of our union with Christ, he is judged on the cross for our sin. So we might think it's unfair that because Adam sinned, we should be condemned. But that's because of our union with him. And if that union wasn't there, neither could there yet be that union with Christ. And if we could not have that union with Christ, then we could not have our sins condemned in him when he died on the cross. And we could not have his life given to us. It's only because we have this union with him that he can die in our place and receive our condemnation and judgment, and that we can be set free and receive his righteousness and his life. So that, in brief, is why that union with Adam is so important in understanding that union with Christ. Well, there's the academic bit, except that none of this is academic, is it? It works itself out in our lives. I don't know about you, but I feel my union with Adam. I feel my union with Adam every time I get up in the morning. I can't understand how sin and death passed from Adam to me. I don't understand how this union works. As I said, it's mysterious, but it did. I'm sure it did, because I feel it in my bones and the creaking of them when I get out of bed in the morning. You young people, a lot of young people here, you probably don't get out of bed with the loud creaking that occurs when I do. But you're no different to us old ones in respect of feeling the union with Adam in your heart. Tugging, that tugging of Adam's heart towards forbidden fruit finds its counterpart in the tugging of your heart to sinful attitudes and desires. You get up in the morning, with or without the creaking, and before you know it, you're looking around you at other people, and you're seeing this person over here, and you're wishing you had her looks. And you're seeing this other person over here, and you're wishing you had his mobile phone. And you're seeing this other person over there, and you're wishing you had her job. And you're seeing another person over there, and you're wishing you had his easy life. And is the commandment of God ringing in your ears and saying, "You shall not covet"? No, it's not. It comes so naturally to you to look around you and wish you were like other people and you had what other people have. Like the Apostle Paul, when that commandment came to his heart, he thought, "I'm coveting all the time. I'm doing it all the time. I can't stop myself." That's that union with Adam. That's what it's like. That's how it works out in practice. That's the reality of it. You and I know we're united to Adam because his heart beats in our breasts. And all the time it's beating there. It's saying, "Sin, sin, sin." That's what's in us. That's what we are by nature from Adam. Sinners through and through. Jeremiah said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Do you know that? Do you realize the truth of that in your own heart? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Are you aware of the vileness that is always at work in the core of your being? If you're not, then you're not a Christian sat here this evening. You can't become a Christian until you realize, until you are aware of that vileness of that sin, until you feel the pain of it. You need to know what the Apostle Paul knew. Indeed, if you are a Christian, you will know it all too well. He said, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Nothing good dwells in me. That's what we have from Adam through our union with him. That's the reality of it. So we're united to Adam first, but then we're united to Christ in his death. United to Christ in his death. When we read our text, Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. And now we know what's been crucified. When he says, I have been crucified, he's speaking about the I that I have through my union with Adam. The life that I've received from Adam, that's what's being crucified on the cross. Our old self, as the Apostle Paul puts it in Romans 6, verse 6. He says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. All that we have from Adam, all of our vileness and rottenness, all that works within us that's deceitful and desperately wicked, all of that is what has been crucified with Christ. So you get what the Apostle Paul is saying. In Romans 6 he says, we died with Christ. And in Galatians 2:20 he says, I have been crucified with Christ. He speaks generally, first of all. We, yes, that's the teaching. This is what we need to understand and what we need to learn. We have been crucified with Christ. But when it comes to Galatians 2:20, he's speaking personally. He's speaking of himself. He's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. I know that this is true of me. Not just of every Christian generally, but of me in particular. In Romans 6:11, he says, Now consider yourselves dead to sin. Count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourself. That's what the Apostle Paul is doing in Galatians 2:20. Counting himself. He's exercising faith and he's saying, yes, I am dead and I am alive. What I was in Adam is dead. Now I am alive in Christ. Alive to God. And that's exactly what you and I must do this evening. The last thing I want this to be, as we're looking at a doctrine, a teaching from the Bible, is like a classroom in which we're all trying to get facts into our heads and keep them there. No, we want to know it personally. I have been crucified with Christ. We want to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, this is true of me. I am that crucified person. I am that person living a new life in Christ by faith. Or exercise that faith this evening. So I'm going to speak personally, as the Apostle Paul does. I'm going to speak about myself as someone who's been crucified with Christ. And I want you, as I'm doing that, to think, yes, that's true of me as well. I want you, when I say I want you to say I. That's true of me. So what's happened then in this union with Christ in his death? The old man, the flesh, the Apostle Paul puts it sometimes, the sinful nature, the old self. All these terms are speaking of the same thing in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. The person I was just before I became a Christian, he was crucified with Christ when I became a Christian. At that moment that I became a Christian, he was crucified with Christ. Because I was united to Christ in his death, and I died. And the death certificate was written out and deposited in the Somerset house that God has, wherever it is, saying that Paul Shortman is dead. And the penalty of his sin has been paid in full. At that moment, that I became a Christian. That was the proclamation in heaven. How? I don't know. It's a mystery. I don't know how it happened. But it did. Because the scripture tells me it did. And I believe it. It's as if when the Lord Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago on that cross, he reached down through time and space. You know, like Doctor Who, you've all been watching Doctor Who go through time and space. No, not in a TARDIS, but somehow, by the mighty power of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his death, reached down through time and space and took hold of me and joined me to him on that cross. And his cross became mine, and my sin became his to be judged for, and his righteousness became mine to possess forever. That's what happened when I became a Christian, when I believed. What a momentous day. What a glorious transaction. At that moment, I was able to say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The old man was done for on that day, united to Christ in his death, but also united to Christ in his resurrection. Because Paul goes on to say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So on that day I died, and a new me arose from the ashes, filled with the resurrection life of Christ, free from sin, having his righteousness. We're boggling at these things, aren't we? How can it be? How can it be? And yet the scriptures say that's exactly what happened. At that moment then, the Paul Shortman that will live forever was born. Still me, again, I don't understand how, still me, but a new creation in Christ Jesus, in which the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, as you've got there on the screen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what happened. In many ways, the day the old Paul Shortman died, the day I became a Christian, in many ways, it would have been better, would have been more glorious for me if this body had died as well at the same time. And I'd immediately gone into the glory to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have my new resurrection body, to be completely that new person that the Lord Jesus Christ has made me to be, that will live forever with him. In many ways, it would have been better for me if I had died at that moment. Rid myself forever of this dying body and this sinful heart that beats within it. Spared my fight with Satan and my struggle against sin and the many, many failures that I have had since that day, time after time after time. And of course, still going on. You know, I cry out with the Apostle Paul so often, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? But God has arranged it so that the old man in this physical body continues for a while, for a few years, because he has work for us to do. If every Christian died as soon as they became a Christian, there'd be nobody to go and tell anybody else about it, for one thing. So this body has to continue, has to carry on for a while, because he has work for us to do. And then when the work is done, we'll go. We'll be released from this flesh. Some get an early release, but some have a lot to do. And so we carry on. But the glorious thing is that because we have that resurrection life of Christ, because we have that new life within us, that mighty power, the Apostle Paul puts it out, the resurrection power of Christ is at work within us, having become a Christian. That new life, it's going to assert itself. It's going to come out. It's going to completely change the way this old body works and what it does from day to day. This old flesh cannot carry on in the same old way as it did before. And so the Apostle Paul says, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Well, that day when I came to Christ, that day when this thing happened, and the old man died, and the new Paul Shortman came into existence, I didn't look any different when I was united to Christ. But I began to live in a totally different way. I began to live a life of faith, which I'd never done before. Jesus describes it like this. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's the kind of life I started to live. A totally different kind of life. Not very well did I live it. Not very fully. With very little success in initially. But I did start to live a life of faith. Everyone else around me carried on living for themselves. But I began to be able to live for another who loved me and gave himself for me. An amazing thing happened within me because of this union with Christ, because of his life living in me, this new life. I began to loathe the vileness that pours out of my sinful heart. I didn't do that before, but I started to do that. The new life I have in Christ makes me hate what I was. Stops me from following the dictates of my sinful heart. Puts a brake on it all. Do you know this? This is true for you if you're a Christian, surely. Must be. See, the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ says, let him deny himself. That's what we do when that new life comes into us. And take up his cross. The cross is ever present in the life of a Christian. It never departs from us. It has to be there. We need that cross there in our lives. The cross of Christ stands sentinel over my daily life, so that I constantly keep nailing the old man to it, day after day. I need that cross. And it's the new life that's in me, the resurrection life that's in me, that makes me keep nailing the old man to that cross. All of his deeds are put to death there, is how the Apostle Paul puts it in his letters. And if this dying body is constantly delivered over to the cross, then it can be a clay pot from which the glory of Christ can shine in this world. So we're united to Christ in his death. We're united to Christ in his resurrection to live a new life. Finally, as we come to the Lord's Supper, I want to mention that, because the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us of these things. We're going to be taking the bread and the wine, and it's going to remind us of these things. You see, Because when it goes wrong, when I fail, which I often do, when I start living like I used to live, thinking like I used to think, when I start doing that, it's because I've forgotten. It's because I've forgotten how vile that old man is. It's because I've forgotten that he's been nailed to the cross. It's because I've forgotten what this new life in Christ is all about. It's because I've forgotten the one who loved me and gave himself for me. So I need to take this bread and this wine. I need to go through this proclamation of his death. And you've got it up there on the screen. We often say this at the Lord's Supper, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As I take into me the bread and the wine, it reminds me that I am in Christ, that he is in me. By that very act of taking something into my body, it reminds me of that union of life that I have with him. It reminds me that in his death I died. And I need to be reminded about that. And that now I live by faith in him. Because this is an act of faith when we take the bread and the wine, of believing what Christ has done for us. I need to keep putting the cross of Christ front and center in my life, day after day after day, or I'll forget that the old man is dead. I'll forget that I'm no longer the person who lied. I'm no longer the person who couldn't care less. I'm no longer the person who thought that everybody else was there for my benefit, because that's what I was like. Well, I'm no longer that person. Christ's not like that. So I'm not like that, because his life is in me. No, I'm a new person. In him I live. I need to keep remembering, and that's what we're going to do now. I need to keep remembering how he loved me and gave himself for me. Because the motivation for all of this ultimately comes down to love of one who did that for me.